Paul Jones joins us now, Raptors radio analyst, to talk about it. Jonesy, thanks very much. Here we go. LeBron James, round two. That's the reward for being the number one seed. And I got to believe, Paul, that, you know, there is still that trepidation that, yes, the Cavs really struggled just to get out of the first round, but it's still all about LeBron. Here we go again.
Yeah, and you know, Roger, I was talking to some people around the league, and kind of like what Indiana did, I think you have to take that approach that LeBron is going to do what he's going to do, and you need to focus on stopping the team, not necessarily LeBron, because you can't really stop him. I mean, look at his performance in the series. At one point, I heard, I think it was going into game six, that he'd averaged 30-plus in the series, and the next closest guy was averaging, you know, 11 or 12. So he's going to do what he has to do. And, I mean, if you're the Raptors, you built a system to try and get past him because you haven't been able to the last 2 years. And if you heard LeBron's post-game interview, he gave, you know, praise to Dwayne Casey. He knows what's ahead of him with playing the Raptors bench and 10, 11 people. And the strength is in the numbers. I mean, as great as LeBron is, he can't play every position. He can't play every minute in every game the entire series. So you've built this system to beat him. You've tested for 82 games in the regular season. It paid off for you in closing out game six against Washington. You have to lean and depend on it now if you're going to get past Cleveland.
And that's exactly the case. Now, you know, Jonesy, we do talk quite often, regardless of how well teams are playing, how well individual performers, and you're absolutely right, LeBron is a guy who's going to do his damage. You concentrate on the rest of the team. But we talk about matchups. So maybe just give us a matchup perspective, as you've seen a lot of the league this year in so many of these games, in your role as both color and play-by-play. Is Cleveland a quote-unquote good matchup for the Raptors, or are they a bad matchup? And, you know, if you could pick in a perfect world, would they be picking a Boston or Philadelphia instead of Cleveland? The last couple of years, it's an easy question to answer. It's all about the Raptors and Cleveland. And Cleveland, no, nobody wants to play LeBron. Avoid playing LeBron as long as you can. Not that you have a choice in the matter, but if they did, how does this matchup stack up as opposed to a potential Boston, Philadelphia, or if Indiana had won today?
And just like when we were surmising who the Raptors might get at eight, Roger, it's the same thing. Like, did you want Miami, who was going to probably grind you? You know, did you want Washington, who wasn't a typical four seed? Did you want Milwaukee and Giannis again, who I thought were conditioned to playing the Raptors? I don't think there's any easy out. I mean, you look at the four teams left, you'd probably like to have a little bit of a wounded Boston team without Kyrie Irving that had difficulty scoring, yet they won in seven games. Philadelphia's, I heard you coming on when you said, Roger, Philadelphia's very young. They are. But, I mean, a team like the Orlando Magic with Shaquille O'Neal and Penny Hardaway was very young, and they were able to defy the odds, too. So, you know, if you want LeBron in the conference finals when you know he's rolling because he's got to the conference finals. I don't think there's ever a great time, but as the matchup goes, because of what I just said about Toronto and the way they have played this year, you have to depend on yourself. You have to depend on the guys that you have and the strength in numbers as a better matchup against Cleveland than anybody else. And, you know, to look at Cleveland, this is probably the weakest supporting cast LeBron has had over his time in Cleveland. So, you know what? Call me crazy, but I don't think it's a terrible matchup.
Paul Jones is with us. Roger Lajoie here, Sportsnet tonight. Cleveland gets by Indiana narrowly today. LeBron James, 45 points in the win. Tuesday night, round two begins at the Air Canada Center. Raptors with home court this time as they take on the Cavaliers yet again in the second round of the playoffs. So, Jonesy, let's talk about how they got here and how they're playing immediately before them, both of these teams. What did you think, first of all, your assessment of the Raptors and the way they closed out Washington and how successful they were in that series? Surely it bodes good dividends that we're able to win game six on the road. And while it's always a struggle and a fight, you know what? Six games is better than seven, and some of the wins were rather definitive. But talk about how the Raptors closed it out, how they're playing heading into this second round, no matter who it is they're playing.
Well, I thought they they got a really good deal getting Fred VanVleet back. He stabilized the bench, and he was, you know, a catalyst. All of a sudden, everybody fell back into place. I thought Pascal Siakam had a terrific game. You know, I thought DeLon Wright did a nice job. He didn't have as much of a workload on him with Fred VanVleet back in the lineup. And the best thing for Fred is he played one game, and now he doesn't have to play again until Tuesday. You know, I had Friday off. He's got, you know, a practice today, but again, time for treatment tomorrow before the game Tuesday. So I like the way they closed Washington out, Raj, and I hate to say I told you so, but a lot of people thought, what did you think going into game six? And I thought, there's going to be a barrage. You need to withstand it. And then when the emotion is taken out and Washington was down another player in Otto Porter, kind of gets worn down, that's when you take advantage. And you could just see the confidence in Washington start to wane in the fourth quarter when Toronto took their best shot, was jockeying back and forth with them for the lead, and then finally took the lead and stretched it out. Washington just could never catch up. So I thought Toronto played well. You know, look, it could have been five games if they would have held up properly in game four. They were up eight in that game with 7 minutes to go and let it get away. So they are in a good spot right now. I mean, think about it. 82 games, you're the number one seed, you've got home court. I really think game one, again, is important. Cleveland coming off this kind of emotional win at home, game seven, not a lot of time to prepare. They come to Toronto, bang them early, get up one game before they kind of get their bearings, hold home court, and you know, you could be off to the races.
It'll be interesting. Paul Jones with us. I'm Roger Lajoie. 105-101, Cleveland beats Indiana. That gets Cleveland a date Tuesday night at the Air Canada Center against the Raptors. Okay, so I asked you how you thought about the Raptors closing out their series. Let me ask you how you thought the Cavaliers closed out their series. I watched a good chunk of that game today. It's all about LeBron as usual, and it seems like an MO. But Jonesy, you talk about two teams that are completely opposite in terms of their way of, you know, their MO of winning games. The bench mob in Toronto, Cleveland's bench had 6 points today, and they only used 9 players, and only 7 players scored. But when LeBron scores 45, that turns out to be the difference. Do you think Cleveland is any momentum at all building from this, or the Cavs are what they are, i.e., if LeBron goes off, look out. If he doesn't enough, then they're very beatable.
And that's what it is, Roger. I mean, you know, you think about that game in March when Cleveland beat Toronto. LeBron was terrific. 37 points, 17 assists, you know, nary a turnover. And, you know, people say, well, you know, I'd settle with that. You know, let's see if LeBron could do that every time to beat you. He can. Just ask Indiana. But at the same time, I think it's about the approach you have to take with the entire team, as I said earlier. Approach it as a whole, just, you know, with LeBron. And again, you have a hole because of your bench and the way your guys have been playing all year. So I just think if you're the Raptors, you're in a good spot, Roger. I really, really do.
They certainly appear to be as we get ready for game one on Tuesday night. Now, the Raptors got over that game one, you know, yips and bad playoff record they had in the series against Washington. Same kind of thing here against Cleveland. Thing is, though, Jonesy, I got to tell you, is like, you know, and we say it too much. We talk about must wins, important games. But the fact that Cleveland limped in here after a 7th game at home and has only 2 days, and the Raptors have home court, I mean, game one is must win for the Raptors, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and as I said, you probably could take advantage of the fact that Cleveland's coming off a little bit of an emotional win, and there might be a little bit of a, you know, a rebound there from an emotional standpoint, and you've got time to prepare. You've probably been looking at video on both Cleveland and Indiana. You got to bang them in that first game. You really got to get to them. You've got to come out. I think you've got to make a statement, hit them first, and let them know, wait a minute, this is not the same Toronto team that we've dominated the last 2 years and won 2 out of 3 from in the season series.
No, not indeed the same team. Now, so let me ask you this. Do you think the pre-trade Cavs are any better than the, you know, or the post-trade Cavs are any better than the pre-trade Cavs? Because at the trade deadline, they made such a substantial addition to the roster, and there are, you know, double-sided opinions on this that, you know, the longer they go, the better they'll get because so many of their pieces had to get to know each other. And if you're going to get them early, or a lot of people thinking that massive trade really didn't disguise the flaws and they're still too bad a team defensively to really be counted on to go deep in the postseason this year.
Yeah, and that's just it, Roger. They it's their defense. I mean, Ty Lue is a guy that they said that's always said we get to lock in better defensively when we have when we have time to prepare. Well, you know, they don't have a lot of time to prepare, and their defense has been suspect all year. And I think that's what Toronto can take advantage of with their ball movement, with their depth. They need to do that. They need to take advantage of this team. Cleveland's going to try and outscore you. And the Raptors, while they can score, they've got to, you know, again, game plan and play good defense against the entire team. LeBron is going to get what he gets. But at the same time, you've got to look after the other guys. And you've got to take advantage of the fact that you're scoring well, too.
So when you mentioned to shut down the other players and make, you know, LeBron's going to do his thing, and Indiana almost pulled that off to win a series but couldn't do it today because LeBron had 45. There were some interesting things in today's game from Cleveland's perspective. Tristan Thompson gets back in the starting lineup and has a pretty good game, 15 points and 10 boards. And Kyle Korver, who was brought to this team to be a clutch three-point shooter, can't make a shot, Jones. He had 3 points in game seven. That's it. And 6 points, as I already pointed out, in total from the bench. But is there another guy besides LeBron that the Raptors have to, you know, focus on? Is it Kevin Love? Is it Korver if he gets hot, or somebody else?
Well, I think Kevin Love is a real key because, let's face it, he's probably their second best player. But then again, you can't forget about what the role players do. And I think the strength of this team in the past, Cleveland, is guys playing their roles around LeBron. Tristan Thompson comes in today, and he was fantastic. Love made some shots today. George Hill didn't play a lot, and then he comes out at a really, really key time in the game and starts making shots and making plays. So, again, I think it's an attack on the whole team, not just worrying about LeBron. And, you know, you're not going to stop him, Roger. You really aren't. And I think you have to play to your strengths, too, if you're Toronto. The ball movement. Again, they built this team to be a better three-point shooting team than they had a year ago. They're third in attempts and makes, third and fourth, respectively. You need to take advantage of that. You need to play your style. And Roger, let's face it. The team that loses its personality first is going to lose the series. And right now, if you're Toronto, you've got to stick to your style of play.
So, end of the day, does it come down to really that Cleveland's defense will not be good enough to contain, especially the Raptors' bench mob? Is that the deciding factor, Jonesy, that would allow you and a lot of people to say that this is a Raptors series to win? Because the MO and the stats make it quite apparent that Cleveland just is not a good enough defensive team to win 4 rounds of the playoffs this year, or even 3, or perhaps even 2 rounds of the playoffs this year. Is that the deciding factor, that the Raptors' defense is that much better in Cleveland's?
I think their defense is better, Roger, but if you're taking advantage of the way you play with Cleveland's defense the way it is, then you need to move the ball. And you're sure your bench can help you out by, you know, playing together as a unit, outscoring their bench or outplaying their bench when you're on the floor, but they've got to stick to the style, Roger. So when Kyle and DeMar are on the floor with a hybrid unit, part two starters and three bench guys, continue to move the ball. Force Cleveland to move. When you play screen and roll, rotate the ball. Set good screens. Rebound. Valanciunas has been terrific. Take advantage of all of those things. Again, I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. You built this style to beat Cleveland. Last year, going into Game 4, Toronto and Cleveland had the same number of made field goals, but Cleveland was outscoring them. I believe the number was somewhere between 75 to 85 points because of three-point shooting. Well, you've improved your three-point shooting this year. You haven't forgot about your defense because you're top five in offense and defense. But offensively, maintain your personality and then play your defense to make it hard on them. And I just think in the end, the cumulative effect is going to produce a win for Toronto.
Will be fascinating. Finally, Jonesy, Boston and Philadelphia going in the other series. Maybe a word about that one before we let you go, because it's been pretty intriguing to see the way the season has played out for both those teams as well. The Celtics have battled significant injuries to star players, but like Cleveland, found a way to get past Milwaukee in a very tough seven-game series, but did it on their home court and now up against a team that so many people at the start of the playoffs said, wow, they're still going to be a year away. But when you look at the way the rest of the East is shaping up, the Philadelphia 76ers sure are not playing like a team that thinks they're still a year away. They're probably looking at, hey, the opportunity might be here for us this year. Give us a quick assessment of that series.
Roger, isn't blissful ignorance wonderful? I mean, they don't know that they're not supposed to do what they're doing right now. They don't know that. And the Philadelphia 76ers look terrific. And let's face it, they got a couple of, while their main guys are young, when you look at Simmons and Embiid, they've got a couple of veterans that understand what's going on. J.J. Redick has been in the playoffs before. Marco Bellinelli's played with the Spurs. He's been on good playoff teams. Ilya Sova's, a tough veteran. So those guys, support players, understand. And in a kind of a funny way, it reminds me of Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady with, the likes of Charles Oakley and Del Curry and Muggsy Bogues and Dee Brown and all those guys. So Philadelphia, they're young, but, they know what's ahead. And I wouldn't put it past them to get to the conference finals. Boston's still banged up. How good will Jaylen Brown be after the little hamstring tweak last night? I look at this series, and I'm saying Philadelphia, but I don't know that you can count the Celtics out, because they, like the Raptors, have a strength in numbers and a style of play kind of thing where they throw the next man up and they just continue to hang in.
Will be fun to see Boston and Philadelphia and, of course, the Raptors and Cleveland. Yes, it's LeBron again, and the road to the Eastern Conference Final, and for that matter, the NBA Final, will go through LeBron and Cleveland again. Do the Raptors have a better chance this year? Many people think so. We'll see starting Tuesday night here at the Air Canada Centre. Paul Jones, Raptors radio analyst here at Sportsnet 590 The Fan, joining us to chat about it. Jonesy, always great to talk hoops with you. Thanks, sir. Enjoy this series.
My pleasure, Roger.